The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
For three decades before my election, drug overdose deaths increased every single year. Under my leadership, we took the drug and fentanyl crisis head on, and we achieved the first reduction in overdose deaths in more than 30 years. I also proudly signed the Support Act, the largest investment ever in combating the opioid epidemic. Sadly, under Joe Biden, our hard-won progress has been surrendered along with the surrender of our southern border. It's such a shame. Now fentanyl and other ultra-deadly poisons are pouring into our country unchecked, stealing more than 100,000 American lives every single year, and many people think that real number is 300,000 to 400,000. Joe Biden's record is one of death, destruction, and misery in communities all across our nation. When I'm back in the White House, I will take action on day one to end this horrific plague and save American lives. Joe Biden will never solve the drug overdose crisis because he is actively destroying our border. What he has done to our border, we had the safest border in the history of our country, and now we have the worst border probably anywhere in the world, including third world countries. That's why I have previously announced I will impose a full naval embargo on the drug cartels and deploy military assets to inflict maximum damage on cartel operations. I will insist on the full cooperation of neighboring governments to dismantle the trafficking and smuggling networks in our region, and I will ask Congress to ensure that drug dealers, kingpins, and human traffickers receive the death penalty. At the same time, I will direct federal law enforcement here in the United States to take down the gangs and organized street crime that distribute these deadly narcotics on a local level. They are killing our people. They are poisoning our beautiful children. I will permanently designate fentanyl as a federally controlled substance. And I will tell China that if they do not clamp down on the export of fentanyl's chemical precursors, they will pay a steep price. I had a deal worked out with President.
So, I like what he's got to say.
Good morning, Nick. That's a start to the show.
It is a good morning. Yes, I can't think of one thing Biden has done that's enhanced this country. Not one.
No. No, I mean, well, that's the thing when you think about it, Nick. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Let me get the weather report in. It's not raining.
Nick, God, it's amazing. Your perception of reality is so good. No, but you know, that's the thing is that's when you know that this entire administration and everything liberal is by design is even a broken clock is right twice by accident, and everything they've done, they've not had one right decision since this whole thing started, and that opening the border and bringing in fentanyl. I mean, it's by design. It's not an accident that we have this issue, and so Trump is right with that.
Well, it's just amazing to me that people still stand up for Biden and like him. I was at one of the recall tables, and they told me what a nonpartisan movement this was to recall Kevin Cry, and a little bit later I says, I'll bet you people support Joe Biden. Oh yes, he's doing a good job.
Yes, he's doing a great job. I actually stopped at a recall signature place at the Sundial Bridge, and there was a lady there and a gentleman, and I came up and I acted like I didn't know what I was talking about, and I said, hey, I've been reading about this. What's going on? And they started going on about how Kevin Cry is cost millions of dollars and all kinds of problems and everything else, and I just said to him, I go, well, my understanding is that Dominion's going bankrupt. He is probably, and I say he, him, Patrick, and Chris have probably saved us over $1.5 million going to a bankrupt company. I go, on top of that, I go, you guys keep wanting to know what Kevin Cry did with Mike Lindell. I go, do you guys know who George Soros is? And the lady just go, oh, yeah, he's a very evil man. I go, why doesn't your side want to know why Kathy Allen Darling went to a George Soros-sponsored event as a paid guest? They shut up. They shut up. I said, that's what your side is. That's who you support. You guys are George Soros supporters. And that's I want to know why Kathy Allen Darlin went as a George Soros-sponsored guest to speak at the Spy Museum. Who did she speak to? What was her subject about? And I think that I would issue a challenge to Kevin Cry is bring Kathy Allen Darlin, and he will tell his Mike Lindell story, but she has to tell her Spy Museum story. And I think it'll be – and I want to know who her sponsors were, who paid for that event, and who were the sub-sponsors. So – yeah, the folks doing the recall petition, they're not terribly well-informed, but, boy, they can lie like a son of a gun.
Well, you know, I read off of their website that they were targeting the low-hanging fruit. I think they got the lowest-hanging fruit to sign up for the recall petitions and collect the signatures.
Well, I mean, you got that email. You managed somehow to infiltrate the inner sanctum, and they sent you, and it said black and white that they're going for the low-hanging fruit. And I brought that up to the lady who called in on Carl Bott's show, and I said anybody with intelligence would say that the low-hanging fruit means you're going for people who are uninformed and will sign anything. And she goes, well, it's about safety. And I go, how is low-hanging fruit in your correspondence referring to safety? And she shut up and didn't answer that from that point on. So what are we talking about today, Nick?
Well, I've got a bunch of clips, but, you know, Nathan Blaze Pinckney, whatever name he wants to go by this week, he was on Carl Bott's show last Monday.
Yes.
And we've got clips, and we'll discuss those. I would encourage you to go to the archives and listen to the whole show. It starts at 8 o'clock with Nathan and Susan Wilson, one of the local liberals around here.
Yep.
And listen to that. But let's get to clip number one.
Jones apologized after that.
Jones, I think there's a difference between apologizing and saying sorry. So I think when you apologize, you are apologizing for an action from yourself. And Jones stated that he, you know, was sorry for what Mr. Bielecki had said, but not for his action, or at least inaction, of not immediately condemning that word and then having me escorted from the chambers. So, you know, I stated at that meeting that if Jones could have actually apologized for his own actions, then I could have accepted that apology, but he didn't, so, and then in turn, I didn't accept that apology.
So the thing is, Jones didn't have anything to apologize for, but what he misleads you, I don't know whether it's intentional or not, but, and I talked to two well-informed people this week, they think that Bielecki used the N-word and Jones expelled Nathan for protesting. And it was absolutely not that. I explained to him what happened, that Pinckney, Blaze, got kicked out of the meeting because he was disruptive.
The third time. So the first time
20 minutes later.
Yeah, he got up and left by himself. Came back, got up and left, and this is what he said, I mean, this is what's come out. He got up and left by himself because he was offended, came back, got up and left by himself and he was offended, and the third time when he wouldn't shut up, then Jones said, we are going to have to get you out of the thing. So, but even in that little clip right there, he infers. Good thing about liberals is they completely infer stupidity in that he infers that the word was used and Jones kicked him out. That's not what happened. That is factually not what happened. He went out himself twice before Jones actually got him out of there.
And he had help inferring that with David Benda in the Record Searchlight. You read that article and you swear that Pinckney got kicked out for protesting Alex Bielecki using the N-word.
Well, and Jones didn't owe anybody an apology. The First Amendment of this country is what sets this country apart. Even offensive speech is protected. And when a speaker comes to the lecture podium to speak, they don't know what that person's going to say. And I am sure they get offended every time the liberal opens their mouth, I get offended. But when they say something, the board doesn't have the legal authority by our United States Constitution. If you're a liberal, listen up. You don't have the authority to stop people because you don't like what they say. Was it an offensive word? Yes. Jones had no reason to apologize because he doesn't control what people say when they come to the lecture, and it was a private citizen under the First Amendment that said that word. Now, I will point out for Mr. Nathan, who is a complete village idiot, he's useless, but he's a village idiot. He's out there acting like the N-word is so offensive, it just keeps him up at night. And yet there's videos all over the internet of him using the N-word, and he even goes so far to sit there and say, I get to use the N-word because my dad is black and you are not. If it is so offensive, why are you using it at all? Why are you using it? That's what really irritates me about this thing, is a white guy said it, and it's offensive. I will sit here with you, Nick, look at you, and I'll look with Nathan, and I'll say, I don't like that word. I've had black friends my entire life. I've never used the word once.
But he uses
it like nothing else.
I don't use the F word because that's how I was created, you know, fornicated.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's an F word.
So let's go on to clip number two, and we got some stuff coming up.
Actually, truly remorseful for something that they've done. You know, you can say words, but you can definitely tell when somebody is truly, actually sorry for an action that they have done. And I don't feel Mr. Jones was. I think that there was a lot of people in that room that day that were in opposition to him, and I believe that he was most likely, you know, suggested to at least make some sort of apology to me on behalf of the community for whatever reason. But, you know, I've stated earlier that I believe Mr. Jones was attempting to upset me, which, again, that was my opinion. But this is just based off of my interaction with Jones in the past. 2 years ago at a board meeting during a situation that happened at Market Street Bladenboro that I don't really want to get into again, I had asked Mr. Jones a question during my public comment, and he responded by saying that I don't like you. I think you're a domestic terrorist. You participated in the Seattle riots, which, by the way, I did not. I've never participated in a riot in my entire life. And so he's just clearly had a disdain for me for quite a while.
So it's more of a, you think it's a personal thing?
I do believe it's fully personal. I do believe, personally, Mr. Jones does not like me.
I think that's probably why Jonesy ran for supervisor, so he could have it out with Nathan Blaze, huh?
Well, I mean, I think it's amazing. Liberals have now become soul seekers. He knew in Patrick's heart that Patrick didn't mean it. I mean, that's pretty bold. I mean, we constantly get screwed by liberal politicians, and they get to apologize. A conservative does something. Oh, well, we don't believe that that excuse. We don't believe that apology is sincere, and yet we have to be told all the time that, you know, oh, we're sorry that we did this, or we sorry did that from liberals, and we just have to accept that that's how it is on face value. I still think Patrick owed nobody any apology on behalf of the board or himself. He didn't say the word, and it's free, protected speech. And every time a liberal gets up there, because you sent me a clip that I think we might be hitting on today, Nick, everything out of the guy's mouth offends me, but he has a right to say it.
That's right. And let's go on to clip number three. What else was that?
You're a clip heavy today, Nick.
Oh, gosh, we got lots of clips, and they're all good. But, you know, oh, it was about the riots. He's never been in a riot, not the riot in Seattle, but there was a picture of him going around, and I'm sure we could come back find it. And it was him up at Seattle. But you've got to remember, that wasn't a riot. That was a peaceful protest.
Yes.
Ask Nancy Pelosi.
Yep. No, then there was nothing to see there. Black Lives Matter and Antifa, there was nothing to see there.
That's
not at all.
Right.
So what is our third clip, Nick?
Oh, gosh, it's interrupting the meeting. Let's go, Nathan.
The question is, if you disrupt the meetings, should you apologize?
I don't believe that I'm the one that disrupted the meeting.
I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about other meetings. If you shout out or interrupt speakers and all that.
Well, is that not then my First Amendment?
Well, not according to the rules that you're using for the other one.
It says
you can't disrupt meetings and you can't use profanities. Right. And I'm sure they're going to find another way to write something there. If you say something that's pejorative like that, that there's no place for that in meetings, and you can be banned from the meetings for 2 months.
I think if the First Amendment, if people can argue that the First Amendment can protect someone using the N-word in a board meeting, then the First Amendment should also be able to protect me speaking out in a meeting as well.
And even though those are against the rules.
But technically so is using the N-word.
Oh, of course it is. No, right. I am not. So, no, wait a minute. I am not trying to defend that, okay? Yeah. And I don't want that to come across. I'm just, this is a question.
Right. So, here's the skinny on this. the First Amendment applies to the person at the podium.
Yes.
Nathan's saying he's got the constitutional right to stand up and disrupt that person speaking or anything the supervisors have to say. It's his First Amendment right.
Yeah, well, that's a liberal, is they will twist it so that the Constitution all of a sudden protects them, but if somebody else does it, that's hate speech, that's just, you know, we're being discriminatory, we're racist, we're homophobic, whatever, but if they say something, then it's protected speech under the First Amendment. So he right there, by saying that, just made the N-word being used at the Board of Supervisors perfectly legitimate. If he can stand up and use F-words and F-bombs in the middle of a meeting against the rules, because the rules are clear, you can't just do that from the floor. When you're at the podium, you can use the words you want to use, and I don't agree with the word that was used, but it is protected. But now he's saying, oh, I can stand up and say F in front of everybody in there, and it's protected First Amendment speech. Really?
Okay, I've got a thought, and really? This is really heavy, and I brought this out at the supervisors' meeting. And a lot of you people listening, some of you go to the supervisors' meeting, and I might sound repetitive, but it's just a small slice of our community that goes to those, sometimes maybe 100 people out of a community that's got almost 200,000 people in it. So that's why I hear you hear me repeating myself. Now, I noticed at the prior two meetings to this last one that Nathan Pinckney Blaze, whatever he wants to be called today, wore a suit with a tie, all dressed up, looking nice. And he made some points up there. One of the points he made was, I've never used the F word at a meeting, and a few other things up there. And I got to thinking, why would he show up in a suit? Why would he make it a point that he has never used profanity? And a few things like that. And I got to thinking, well, they could take clips out of each one of those and make a little video of Nathan Pinckney.
The fine, upstanding citizen that he is, yes.
Okay, so these people that are doing the recall, they have a main line right to Gavin Newsom, and they have written a letter signed by numerous people that they hope that he does not appoint a successor should the recall be successful. Well, I can see them, if the recall is successful, sending this clip to Newsom and saying, we have found the person for you to be to replace our supervisors till the next election. We've got Nathan Pinckney Blaze. He is black. He's a veteran. He attends the meetings. He dresses the part. He's well-spoken. He's educated. He's engaged in the community. And he's black. Did I say he's black, Kevin?
I think I heard you say that, yes.
You know, that would, do you think that Jeff Godert and Tim Hill would just love to shove that down our throats?
Oh, man, that would be – they would gloat at every Board of Supervisors meeting. Yeah, you know, it's he obviously had some good role models. I don't know, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, those people are also fine, upstanding. They show up, they're always in their suit and tie, and they're always espousing just absolute truth, those two. Yes.
You know, and Gavin Newsom's made such wise decisions for our state.
Yes. Yes. Well, and, you know, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is this coming recall issue. And one of the points that these folks are bringing up, and I'm being very careful in my words because Carl gets mad if we use bad words.
Well, we can't use names either.
I know. We can't, but we won't.
If we're going to say something.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, they can use names on us, and they can call us all kinds of names. We can't repeat the honor. But one of their complaints is that the Board of Supervisors canceled the Dominion contract without a plan. Can someone actually tell me of any government plan that actually was worth a damn, worked, and actually resulted in improvement? I couldn't think of one time where there was a theoretical plan based on a decision, because if that was the case, Sacramento would come to a grinding halt if they actually had a plan for the decisions they made, because they just enact crap and it goes badly. In this case, a majority of the country, that is why, hence people listening, Dominion is going bankrupt. It's not because Shasta County pulled out. Everybody has got concerns about that particular thing and the other company that's out there. So it isn't like Shasta County is bringing down this multi-billion-dollar company. It is nationwide that we don't trust the vote from Dominion. And their whole thing is that there wasn't a follow-up plan. Well, there has been plans presented, but now it's going to the state control person for them to review, and now the state is trying to pass laws that would prohibit the locals from having any control over their elections. So,
and the feds are too. The bill you're talking about is AB 969. We'll get to that. I've got some clips with Kevin that we want to get to. But let me bring to your attention while we're here that Kevin's people talked to a few people that figured out that they were not necessarily told the truth and misled when they signed a petition to recall Kevin, and they would like to rescind their signature. And they went to Kathy Darling Allen, and, oh, it's a long, laborious project. You can't hardly do it. But as a matter of fact, you can. And if you would like to learn how to do that, go to knowoncryrecall.com. And there's a form on there. They'll tell you how to do it. knowoncryrecall.com. So now that we're done with this, you remember the salmon lady that went to our county elders, the supervisors, and her big gripe with our county was that the salmon, the adult salmon, was pointing downstream on the Highway 44 overpass.
Yeah.
And it needed to be turned around because people were mixed up about the life cycle of a salmon. Well, I've got a lady that's coming up that is in competition with the salmon lady. Laura was her name. She signed the recall. I don't know if this other gal signed the recall, but I dare say she's low-hanging fruit, and if she has the opportunity, she will sign it. Could we have that clip, Nathan?
And then Leslie Savanovich, then Suzanne Barrymore.
Hello, my name is Mary DiStefano. And I want to talk about the legacy this board is leaving. The last time I spoke, I had mentioned that I retired about a year ago. And since then, we've lost an oncologist and haven't been able to replace him. When a doctor sells a practice or moves out of an area, the question goes nationwide that they're looking for somebody to come here, not just California, not just Shasta County, nationwide. Well, when I retired, we had 7 oncologists, and at the end of this month, we're going to have 3, and one of them is looking to retire. That's your legacy, Patrick. We no longer have any rheumatologists in Shasta County. There is one in Chico, but he will not take any other patients from this county. So it's going to be, this is the future for this county. It'll be like when I began my healthcare career in 1978. If you needed a specialist, you had to go out of the area. And we worked hard to get cancer treatment centers here, to get oncologists, to get cardiologists. We're losing pulmonologists now. That's your legacy. Our brightest children are going away to school, and they're not coming back. That's your legacy. I can't believe that this is happening. And it's going to take years of hard work to get the stink of bad publicity off this county. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Mary.
You know, the only answer to that is to pass an ordinance that a doctor can't retire or move until he finds a replacement, huh?
Yeah. And you talk to any medical profession and really, or professional, most of them will tell you point blank, it was Obamacare that began the exodus of medical because it went from being patient-centered to paperwork-driven. And it's not the Board of Supervisors chasing students away. It's not the Board of Supervisors chasing not Patrick Jones. It is a system in California in that the litigious nature, the doctors are over-regulated and overburdened, that they're choosing to leave the state or the profession because it has become highly stressful and has nothing to do about patient care. It's all about the bottom line, the buck, and the insurance industry and the regulations. And so for her to lay that at the feet of Patrick, he's given him quite an honor that he's, you know, semi-god apparently, but it's misfounded or misdirected, and it's not even remotely close to the truth.
Maybe he should apologize and we could get the Nathan Pickneal meter to find out whether it's a sincere apology or not.
Now, Ethan, where are we at on...
Oh, we got 30 seconds. I want to come up with this last thing. I watched Obama speak, and it was within the last month, and he's got those fake eyebrows on. Have you ever noticed how some of our politicians wear fake eyebrows?
Uh-uh.
Oh, gosh, it's hilarious. If you can look that up, it is. I remember the first time I noticed it was about 20 years ago when Robert Novak, he's the one that outed Valerie Plame as a CIA agent.
Yeah.
I noticed he had fake eyebrows. They're just too dark. And I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, look at that. Those aren't real. Oh, yeah. You'll notice men that their eyebrows don't fade. One day I was watching him and one peeled off halfway and it's hanging there. I'm not kidding you. His eyebrow was hanging there and he kept talking and then they went to a break and when they came back on, it was pasted up the way it's supposed to be. But you watch that. You'll see some of these statesmen. Evidently, that makes him look smart or something.
Mm.
Are we ready for a break, Nathan?
Yeah.
Ethan.
Liam.
Bobby.
You guys
are
calling me like three different names today.
Hey, he knows.
Well, we're trying to make sure we're inclusive. We want to make sure all those names are part of our show.
Perfect.
And he knows he's dealing with a handicapped in here. Okay, we're breaking.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Tim Hill, our newest inductee to the Howdy Doody Club here locally in Shasta County. Let's hear Tim.
So two things today. So, you know, a couple months ago, having a great time, kind of oblivious, attended my first board meeting. Was so appalled that I jumped on board with the recall. I think I've been to every meeting since then, stayed a lot longer than I probably should have, but I do appreciate the work that you all do. It's you know, a thankless job, I can share that you'd probably tell me. So the recall, Kevin, it's really about decisions and character. And so in those couple months, I've been here and seen how folks react to the public speaking, that unfortunate incident in this board chambers on the 30th. You know, it tells a lot about a person's character. And Ms. Rickard, Mr. Garman, you know, your immediate reaction to that visceral term that was used here was telling. You know, you immediately condemned it. You immediately just, you know, that was who you are as people. Mr. Cry, you treated it like some prank in school, and you oogled the gal next to you. That was disgusting. Just disgusting. That is character right there. So let's get on to decision making. So decision-making based on facts, like you say, you like to do. Transparency, another thing. So you know, the whole Lindell trip, right? It's a nothing burger. Well, if it's a nothing burger, tell us who you met with. That's not very transparent. You know, you have a couple set of standards. One for, I want transparency in my government for my county leaders, but then I'm not going to be transparent and tell you what I do. That's pathetic. So let's talk about some other things. You know, you like facts. Well, if you're reviewing one set of facts from debunked and discredited election denier conspiracy theorists that hawk pillows on the internet, you might be an extremist. We'll just say that. You know, when you make decisions based on not understanding science, like epidemiology and vaccines, you know, hey, I got my vaccine because I care about my parents. I care about my in-laws. I don't want to kill them. So it's like I'm thinking of other people, why I get vaccinated. Right? So anyway, decisions and character. Thought I'd leave you with that. Love the recall. I'm, you know, not really excited about it, but it's work that has to get done.
Thank you.
Well, 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 Mr. Speaker Person. First off, the Lindell trip, let's hit that for 2 seconds. I just issued a little challenge to Kevin, and I think that if he is willing to come on to our show or to the Board of Supervisors to talk about it, I want Kathy Allen Darling to talk about her George Soros-funded and sponsored event. So why aren't you asking Kathy Allen Darling, your darling, why she did that? Why did she go and support the most evil man walking the planet Earth, a Hungarian Jew that turned Jews in, and he quite enjoyed watching them get destroyed by the Nazis? Why aren't you guys asking those questions? But on the whole subject of COVID, it shows that you have a complete and utter lack of any form of intelligence. It is now overwhelmingly accepted science that the vaccine did nothing, stopped nothing, protected nobody, and it now is actually killing. Well, the depends on who you believe and what you research. The evidence is overwhelming. It is killing people with myocarditis that is otherwise healthy. And so for you to sit there and lecture somebody about a decision that actually truly was a bad decision put on by a hoax, but I'm sure you probably, you know, appreciate Fauci more than ever. And it was maybe one of the largest mass humanity hoaxes ever perpetrated on humankind.
Well, let me point out, you called him an idiot. He, in fact, has a master's in forestry. Oh, yeah, look at our forests. Well, maybe that's not saying much.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got on Kevin about the shot and all that.
Yeah.
Kevin's only been on the board for 5 months now. He didn't have anything to do with Shasta County not wanting to follow the COVID restrictions. Where's he throw that in?
Well, it's like
I'm starting to think some of these things they say they make up.
Well, and that's the problem with these folks is they are just useless village idiots. They're blaming Kevin for things that the previous members of the board, the Comintes, the Modis, the Rickards, voted on, budgetary items, and now they're trying to turn Kevin and Patrick Jones and Chris into something like they've just run us off the cliff when, in fact, the budget was passed forward from the previous board. So in 3 to 4 months, they have not had a chance to actually fiscally change what was already voted on. And so these people are, you know, they're blaming him for these millions of dollars that's going to cost. And yet even Kathy Allen Darling, and I don't believe it's honest for a minute, but we'll give her some honesty for 2 seconds. She said it's projected to be about $1.6 million over the course of elections, not an election. And but yet they're at these tables telling people that Kevin Cry has cost the county millions, when even Kathy Allen Darling has never said the word millions. So, and if he had done any research, he would have looked into the fact that Fauci has 900 emails that got released. And early on in the old shamdemic, he made it clear that the clear glass stuff doesn't work. Social distancing doesn't work. Masking doesn't work. Those are in the Fauci emails early on in the pandemic. And this guy is trying to lecture Kevin for something that it ends up being that it was complete fraud. Maybe we need to question that intelligence.
Welcome to the Howdy Doody Club there, Tim. You're joining Doug Craig and Leonard Modi.
We're still working on trying to figure out what's the trophy we should give you, though.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Maybe we could get one of those 34% blunts down there at the marijuana dispensary and give it to them.
There you go. Or, you know, I do a race. I'm in a racing series called the Lemons, and they will get old motors and stuff that have blown up and weld things together, and it's the ugliest thing in the world, and they'll give those as trophies. Maybe we can get some homeless paraphernalia and glue it together and give that as a howdy doody.
There you go. That sounds like a heck of a good idea.
It's called recycling art.
Well, we've got one more clip, and this person is probably a good candidate for the Howdy Doody Club, but we don't want to wear it out. This is Supervisor Rickert. So let's hear clip number four.
I'll second the motion.
No. Oh,
now we have a motion, and it's been seconded under discussion. Supervisor Rickert.
Yes, I want, for the record, the public to know, right after Tim Garmon punched his name, and we have a queue up here. I also punched my name. Chair Jones ignored my name and proceeded to talk and to make his motion before he called on me. And technically, I should have been called before he took. You did.
Supervisor Rickert, I told you, I told Supervisor Garmon I was going to go before him. And as he put his name in queue, I said I would go after. You just did not hear that.
No. Anyway, but my name was in queue. Your name was not in queue. Anyway, first of all, it's my turn to talk. First of all, this was a reckless and hasty decision when you decided to terminate the contract. There's no proof of fraud with the Dominion machines. I do feel that these gentlemen that showed up today, that they were, you know, staged because you want to bring us more national public attention to say that you're the first county in the country to have discontinued Dominion voting machines. And I'm tired of us being used as your political agenda. The fact of the matter is, and I have had the same experience, I've been out in the country, MacArthur, I've been all kinds of places. I was in Cottonwood with you the other night, Chris. I had more three and four generation farmers and ranchers come up to me and say, what the heck are you guys doing? They're so upset with you discontinuing the Dominion. And these are people that work for a living 7 days a week. And they're mad. They say it's a waste of money. You should be fixing potholes. They're disgusted. And I am tired of getting chewed out for this decision. Therefore, I'm making a substitute motion that we do 3B to rescind the prior direction to staff to terminate the agreement with Dominion voting systems once the March 7th, 2023 election is complete.
I think Patrick had to take his training at the preschool to keep peace there at the supervisors' meeting.
Ms. Rickert, I am a conservative. I am a taxpayer. Believe me, I pay a lot of taxes. I am an American, and I'm informed. I do not trust those machines. During the election, we went to bed, and it's not just this most recent thing. It is the 2020. And in 2020, we went to bed, and President Trump was leading in almost every state in every category. And the next morning, we woke up, and statistically, almost overnight, to an exact percentage, the vote had changed. They interviewed MIT mathematicians that said it was statistically impossible for all of those results to have happened. Something was played with those machines. And most of America, a majority of Americans, do not trust them. What is so hard about us as conservatives saying, we don't trust it, our opinion doesn't matter, but you and your liberals, because let's be very clear, Rickert and Garmin are liberals. They're rhinos parading around as Republicans, but they are not. They're not fiscally conservative. They're not conservative. And if they're on the side of the liberals, you already know you've got a problem. The reality is the vote had irregularities. It had massive fraud that was discovered during 2020. I don't trust it, and I've talked to nobody that does trust those damn machines. So believe me, you may be picking people that actually don't trust them or don't trust your decision as a board to terminate that contract. I fully support it. Thank you guys for doing that.
She should have, in my opinion, looked at those people and that said, what are you doing? You're costing us millions and millions of dollars, and simply asked them, do you trust a machine to count our votes?
Yeah.
I think that'd be a simple answer, and I'll bet you over 90% of them would have thought about it and said no.
Well, and you know what they should be going, and if they're listening, is ask her, what's the deal with Magrini? Why did a corrupt, horrible sheriff get a promotion and a 30% pay raise and is now kind of gone AWOL? That was on her watch. Why don't they ask him about that? That was a lot of money to be given out to somebody who was proven by a vote of no confidence of their own people, and they promoted him. That was a decision that I'm actually questioning about, and now that the Record Searchlight is trying to get to the bottom of it, the county is working their tail off to not release that stuff when, in fact, it's a public employee, and there are some serious ramifications. I want to know what Modi, Cominti, and Rickards voted on that gave him that promotion.
And I want to know why Kathy Darling Allen got a $41,000 pay raise.
Well, it's because she can knit while it's in the middle of the Board of Supervisors. I saw that picture. It was very nice of her. It looked quite grandmotherly.
Oh, yes. Paying a lot of attention to what's going on. I've got a letter. I've got two letters to the editors today that I'd like to read. The first one is thoughts on Shasta County Supervisor's upcoming town hall meeting. So Shasta County Supervisor Patrick Jones is going to hold a town hall meeting this summer to prove he should have won his election by a bigger margin. It will just be more of the same conspiracy theories with no actual proof of tampering. And what kind of ego thinks he should have won by more votes than the comfortable margin he won by? All that said, why would China, Russia care about election of a supervisor in Shasta County? That is just more craziness than that the national and international media will unfortunately use to paint Shasta County as a hotbed for right-wing extremists. We deserve better. Well, yes, we deserve honest elections. This town hall isn't so Jones can complain about his margin of victory. I believe, and I'm not in the know, but I believe they're going to have this Haberbusch guy, the attorney from the Rex Institute, the gal from Missouri that is pioneering hand counts, and Clint Curtis come and demonstrate and show how hand counting is fiscally feasible and how it is more accurate. I believe that's what the town hall is going to be about, and I would encourage everybody to go to it.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is the thing that really, 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 really irritates me with liberals. They are the only ones that get to be offended. They're the only ones that get to have an opinion, and only their set of facts are considered important. Newsflash, there is an entire other side of the spectrum that is intelligent. We know what we're talking about. And every conspiracy theory that has been basically brought up for the last 8 years, oddly enough, when the dust settles almost to a one, everyone has turned out to be true. So the minute you guys say conspiracy theory, just a little newsflash code, maybe you want to change that thing, we know we're on to something. We're hovering over the target, and we know that we're about to go and find something you didn't want us to find. So I recommend liberals keep using the word conspiracy theory, because that tells us we're over something.
Lots of smoke.
Lots of smoke.
Lots of fire. You know, here's where did I get this? Cry's Lies, 10 Reasons to Recall Shasta County Supervisor Kevin Cry. Okay, I wanted to talk about this point by point, but we're running out of time. Mr. Cry promised to be a fiscal conservative. We've pretty much gone over that. Here's a second one. Mr. Cry said that he had secured money from the pillow guy to ensure that county taxpayers wouldn't be on the hook for millions in additional costs for a hand count scheme. He said, we will not use Shasta County's money to go in this direction. That is a lie.
That's a flat-out lie.
I heard Kevin Cry talk about this, and the way I understood it is Mike Lindell said he would help Shasta County should there be litigation.
Litigation, not counting. If there was a lawsuit, Mike Lindell had offered an amount, which I don't know the amount. I don't know what that's about. But let's clear that up. In that meeting in the Spy Museum, they actually offered pro bono legal services to the folks in attendance if litigation arose for them. So it's all right for George Soros to offer pro bono legal services for people that believe in our machines, but it's not okay for somebody to have kind of a similar situation on the other side. So I just want to make sure we're clear that's part of the deal.
Mr. Cry said he would prioritize public safety. you know, by saving us millions of dollars on the Dominion machines or any other vote counting machines. I hate to pick on Dominion because I don't trust any of them.
And yeah, for good reason.
The money he saved could go to hire some sheriff's officers, maybe staff the level at the jail that shut down. It could go to that. I think Tim Hill or Jeff Godert would prefer it go to fill potholes.
Yes.
That seems awful important to them.
Or we could give more raises to the senior management of the county while the rank and file don't earn as much, but that's another story.
Mr. Cry promised he would be a unifier and a healer. Well, you know, Tim Hill stated that he was glad that this recall came together because it brought people of like thinking like him together, and he's gained a bunch of friends. So I take that to mean he didn't have any friends to start with. So thank you, Kevin, for finding some friends for Tim.
And unifying.
Boy, I might ought to get on that recall. I can twist things pretty good,
yes,
too.
Yes, you could. You're a master.
Mr. Cry claimed that the recall is backed by liberal Democrats. Well, you know, they do have, Tim Hill, for example. He said that the only party he's ever identified with is a Republican Party. But as a matter of fact, Dave Benda said he dropped out of the Republican Party in the early 2000s.
Yes. Well, that doesn't count, though, because one time he registered as a Republican. So that means no matter what his current opinions are and his slant to the left, he was once a Republican, and therefore that's good enough for us.
Charlie Moeller, the ex-superintendent of schools, said the same thing.
Yeah.
And he had dropped out decades ago. It's just amazing how these people – but when I was at the recall table and they told me that, I said, well, you guys probably like old Joe Biden. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, well, show me a Republican that likes Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, that would be Comente, that would be Rickards, that would be Garmin. I'm sure they like Joe Biden. He's doing a great job. So what else you got? You got another list going there. Keep going.
Well, you know, there's a bunch of lies on here that they are accusing him of. You know, the recall for Leonard Modi only cost $750,000. So how's this going to cost us tons and tons of money? It just amazes me.
Well, and, you know, I wanted to touch because, you know, we're not supposed to use names, according to Carl, but since this guy spoke publicly on the Board of Supervisors and their archives, Mr. Godert called every one of Chris Kellstrom's voters brainwashed, which inferred that we were stupid. Mr. Godert, if you're listening, and you're not, but if you were, I would just tell you, I am educated. I have college degrees. I've traveled the world. I pay my taxes. I owned a business, and I was educated for the issues that were in front of us. And I can assure you, Chris Kellstrom did not brainwash me, even though he's 6'22". I was not intimidated by him. I think the man is intelligent. I think he's well-spoken. And I can assure you, the people that I have spoken to, we really appreciated Chris Kellstrom's honesty, his opinion, and we are not brainwashed. I thought I'd clarify that because you managed to say that publicly on a Board of Supervisors that we must all be brainwashed. We are not, sir. There, I've clarified that.
And they criticize Kevin Cry because he used county help to install his Pac-Man machine in his office. And like we pointed out before, it's a law. Anything, if you hang a picture in there, has to be installed by a county employee.
Well, because county employee building, and plus they have union, and that's just the way it is. You're not allowed to do stuff on your own in a government building. That's just the way it works. I'm sure that Rickards has stuff hanging in her office that was installed by a county employee, and I'm sure Garmin has something. That's just the system. It is what it is. So what do you got, Nick? You got
a
long list.
Well, if anybody wants to rescind their signature voting to recall Kevin, if they want to take it back, it's nooncryrecall.com.
Hey, Nick, I got something for you. I just thought it just shot in my head. You know, I think if we went back to the founding fathers, they would be very, very upset with Joe Biden. Did you hear the other day when he was in New England? And at the end of his speech, he said, God save the queen, man.
Poor old Joe.
Poor Joe. We pick on him, and it's not fair. He's an old and demented individual. He should be left alone.
You know, I want to encourage you to go to Kevin's show, Kevin's Corner. He has it on here every other Sunday. He'll be on next Sunday at the same time. He has a gal on there, Kathy was her name, and they go over a lot of things that people are being misled about, and I would encourage you to go back to that. One of the things that Kevin brought out is we are just spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for cybersecurity for our voting machines to make sure they're not hacked or cheated or any of that kind of stuff. And Kathy Darling claimed that they're not hooked up to the internet. Now, that doesn't make sense to me to spend money on software and patches and things to keep them from being hacked if they're not hooked up to the internet. Does that sound logical?
No. I'll just speak in and say, how can you be protecting something that they say is not actually happening? I don't get that either, Nick. That's kind of weird.
And Kevin isn't concerned about our health because the state in AB 969, that's their standards for counting votes, he's against us wearing medical exam gloves while they're counting votes, even though each table's 10 foot apart.
Wow. Wow.
They threw that in.
They threw that
the
in.
The state in. Yes.
Well, you know, you got to keep the fear porn going that there really is something out there and, you know, and keep people afraid of each other. That's how you control society.
You've
and they're doing
have,
great.
You've got to have four people to count one vote.
Yes.
Plus somebody watching over them. And the tables have to be 10 foot apart. I think Bethel's in on that because they want them to have to rent the auditorium down there.
Oh, well, you know, money. It's capitalism. No, you know, Nick, I was telling somebody this, and for the folks listening, I really hate what Nick and I do. And I mean that in a literal sense because for us to have an opinion, and it is our opinion, but we try our hardest to have it based on as good of facts as we can. We constantly have to read stuff that you just shake your head, you know, removing healthy breasts from young girls and convincing them they're boys, removing personals of little boys telling them they're girls. These are all liberal things that you read and you just cannot believe that stuff is happening, that we have to believe in the Rainbow Coalition. We have to believe that all that stuff. We have to believe in BLM. We have to believe in Antifa. We've got and yet, if we don't believe it, we're up here bloviating without any opinion or without any facts. And yet, to read it and be prepared for this show, we got to constantly read stuff that Nick and I just go back and forth for 2 weeks on emails going, did you see this? I just don't – did that really just happen? And – it gets us to this show on Sundays where we try to give information that may not be fully mainstream in terms of everybody knows about it. And it's very hard to stay positive when you keep reading the same stuff every week put on by liberals. I mean, literally, that's what it's about.
You know, big wigs for Shasta County are leaving. Management.
Oh, yes.
And now Ross, our attorney's leaving. I'd sure like to know why he's leaving.
Yeah. I'd like to know where Magrini is, and I want to know what's in that paperwork that Record Searchlight is demanding. So there's a lot of things we're demanding here, Nick.
Well, they're complaining about Karen Randstrom getting fired, and they've actually lowered their standards for a requirement to replace her. But, you know, when she was getting fired, I looked up, and she was making well over $200,000 a year, and that was just her salary. When it got done with her benefits and her pension liabilities, it was well over $300,000 a year. And I'm going, what's she doing besides just telling us what the state's telling her?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's destroying lives. She's helped lock us down. She continued a false narrative, and it was easily disprovable. And had she done her job, we wouldn't have done that. So I don't see why we wouldn't want her to pay $300,000 for such bad information.
Here's a quote from Supervisor Rickert. A good candidate for the Howdy Doody Club. Shasta County has a lot of health problems. We have the highest suicide rate in the state. That's just an asthma statistic. We have the highest STD rate. That's not retirement vehicles for you liberals. That's sexually transmitted diseases in Shasta County in 70 years. Fentanyl is a huge problem. We need someone that's qualified. I would beg this board to reconsider offering the position to Dr. Karen Randstrom. I really do believe she needs to come back. All these problems were created since she left.
Well, yeah, and it's all been created since Chris and Kevin joined the thing. So, I mean, none of this happened under Modi's watch. None of it happened under Comenti or Rickert. So let's just blame all the problems that have been going on for decades on the people who've been there for 5 months. That makes complete sense to me. Doesn't it to you, Nick?
Oh, yes. Firefighters were kept busy Friday morning when at least four fires were reported in northeast Reading within a three-hour period. They seemed suspicious to the fire department.
I think they were along Highway 44. My brother mentioned something about he saw a bunch of spot fires going along the way there.
These were up by Keswick.
Hey, it's the end of the show.
Close to the homeless camps.
We'll see you in 2 weeks, folks. Have a great day and a couple good weeks.
Bye.
So good. So good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar is fine. I feel nice. The sugar is fine.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.